The reign of Saul, the first king in Israel, was without any doubt a complete disappointment and a disaster. The reason why the people of Israel wanted a king was so they would be like the other nations that lived round about them. They wanted a king so he could go before them and lead them into battle against their enemies. In 1 Samuel 8 in the verses 19 and 20, the Israelites said to Samuel, "We will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go before us and fight our battles." This desire for a king was then founded on this great expectation that their king would lead them in victory over their enemies, and that he would bring great success and great prosperity to them as a nation. Yet all these hopes and expectations that the people of Israel had in a king were quickly dashed as King Saul came to the throne. The Philistines, who were Israel's greatest enemy at this time and were causing all sorts of problems in the land, Saul was reluctant to fight them. He wouldn't engage them in battle. We noted in 1 Samuel 13 that after reigning for 2 years, Saul sent most of his fighting men home and just kept enough soldiers in his army to protect himself and his property. It seems that King Saul had no ambition to take God's work forward. He had no stomach for the fight. Instead, he was happy for God's work to fall further and further into decline, and God's people to be ruled over by their enemies. Saul, as the first king in Israel, truly was a great disappointment and failure. However, even though Saul was such a weak and watery man, his son Jonathan was the complete opposite to this. Jonathan was a man of great courage and conviction. He was a young man that zealously served the Lord and was most concerned for God's glory. In the passage of Scripture that we're coming to today in our study of 1 Samuel 14, this is something that is clearly brought before us. We have read here of how Jonathan, with his armor bearer, made an attack on the Philistines. And as a result of this attack, a great victory was wrought in Israel. Jonathan then was very much a different man than his father. He was a man that was bold, a man that was courageous, and he was not willing to sit back and do nothing as God's work was attacked and suffering greatly. He was not content to let things just be as they are and to live a life of failure and ruin. No, the seal of God filled his heart, and so he was moved by God's Spirit to take on the enemy. Now, in considering Jonathan in Scripture, we should note that he's a wonderful example to every Christian and how we are to live for God and serve him in this world. In fact, Jonathan was not only a faithful believer in his own life, but he's also a great biblical picture or a good biblical type of the faithful Christian. And that's what Jonathan is in Scripture. He is a man who's a great biblical type or picture of the faithful Christian. This is something that is brought before us through the relationship Jonathan had with David. Although Jonathan was the son of a king, King Saul, he loved and was loyal to another king, King David. 1 Samuel 18 verse 1 tells us, "The soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him," that is David, "as his own soul." King David in Scripture, of course, points us to the Lord Jesus and Christ's eternal reign as king. And that's who David represents in the Old Testament. He's a picture of Christ. Therefore, Jonathan's relationship with David symbolizes, sets forth the relationship between Christ and the faithful Christian. Jonathan loved David and even put David before his own interests and ambitions in life. Remember, Jonathan was in line to be the next king in Israel. He was Saul's rightful heir. But it was not his desire to be king. Instead, Jonathan wanted David to reign. He wanted David to reign. Well, so it will be with a faithful Christian. The faithful believer loves Christ first and foremost. And their love for Christ is such that it is their great desire that he will reign over them. And that he will reign over them in every part of their lives. And Jonathan put King David before himself. And this is what the faithful Christian will do. They will put King Jesus before themselves and live to serve and honor him. And so Jonathan is a great type or a great picture of the faithful believer or the faithful Christian. As we then think of this great man of God, Jonathan, as he's brought before us here in 1 Samuel 14, the subject I want us to consider today is Jonathan the faithful believer. Jonathan the faithful believer. What an example Jonathan is here to every Christian. And I trust as we consider something of this man today, his life will be both a challenge to us and also an encouragement to us as God's people. The first thing I want us to note in this passage then is the faith in Jonathan's life. The faith in Jonathan's life. This is something that is brought before us in the words of verse 6 here in 1 Samuel 14. See again what it says in verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." Now remember at this stage in Israel, the Philistines were ruling over them. The Philistines were ruling over the nation of Israel. Indeed, as we noted last time in 1 Samuel 13, verses 17 and 18, the Philistines had divided themselves into three companies, three different groups. And these three groups were going about spoiling and plundering the land of Israel. They were taking from the Israelites their possessions and valuables. Such was the weakness of the people of Israel at this stage that they were not even fighting against the Philistines. They were just standing back and letting their enemies devour them. This was the terrible situation the nation of Israel had fallen into. It was so weak, it was so feeble, that it was just sitting back and their enemies, the Philistines, were plundering and spoiling their land, taking from them what they wanted. As we're then told here of Jonathan's plan to go against the garrison of the Philistines and to fight them, we witness his faith in these dark and difficult days in which he lived. We see Jonathan's faith here. Jonathan was a man of faith. And so despite the seemingly hopeless situation he was faced with, he remained faithful and courageously served the Lord. In this dark time and this difficult time, Jonathan remained faithful to God because he was a man of faith. You see, this is what the faithful believer does. They continue to live by faith despite what might be happening around them. The faithful Christian does not give up when things get hard and when things get difficult and when there's great challenges and discouragement. Instead, the faithful Christian, they continue to live by faith. They continue to live by faith even when faced with the most difficult of circumstances. This is what the faithful Christian does. We have many examples of this in God's word. Think of the 12 spies that Moses sent to spy out the promised land. When 10 of these spies saw the difficulties that lay ahead in the promised land, the great armies that were there, the giants that were there, the fortified cities that were there, the vastness of the land, as they looked upon these difficulties, they said, "We cannot go in. We're not able to do this. We will never be victorious. We will never be successful." And these 10 spies brought, in their unbelief, they brought an evil report. But the other two spies, Caleb and Joshua, were different. And they were different because they were men of faith. They were true men of faith. And so despite all the difficulties that lay ahead, and remember Joshua and Caleb saw the very same difficulties, they saw the very same challenges, but despite all of these things, because they were men of faith, they declared, "Let us go in at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You see, the faithful believer is one who continues to live by faith, even in the most difficult of circumstances, and in the darkest of days. And of course, we live in dark days. We live in difficult days. Days of great challenges for the church. Days of great challenges for the Christian. But the Christian who is faithful will continue to live by faith and honor the Lord. And we see this here with Jonathan. Now, as we think here of how Jonathan continued to live by faith in this weak and wayward day in Israel, there are two things I want us to note here about his faith. Two things I want us to note about his faith. Notice in this passage, the object of Jonathan's faith. And we are reminded of this in verse 6. See again what it says there. Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." These words make it clear. The object of Jonathan's faith was the Lord. He was trusting in his God and Savior. As Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "It may be the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." He was in effect declaring, we will simply put our confidence in the Lord. We will put our confidence in the Lord, for he's able to save and deliver his people, no matter how weak and few in number they are. And that's what he was saying to his armor bearer. Listen, let's go and fight these men. Let's go and take on the Philistine garrison here, because the Lord's able to save. Even though we're only few, even though we're only weak, the Lord's able to deliver. Therefore, let us go and take them on. And so Jonathan's faith, the object of his faith, was the Lord. It was his God. We also see how Jonathan's faith was fully in the Lord further down in this chapter. In verses 8 to 13, we are told of Jonathan's strategy as he fought this garrison of the Philistines. And what we learn is, he was looking to the Lord in this whole affair. Looking to the Lord for his help and for his guidance in this whole business. See what it says in verses 8 to 10. "Then said Jonathan, behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." These words reveal that Jonathan was looking for God's leading and help in this whole situation. His eyes were upon the Lord, and he was waiting for God's leading and God's help here. As he fought against the Philistines, Jonathan's confidence, his faith and trust was completely in the Lord. Completely in the Lord. Now the faithful believer, the object of their faith is the Lord. The object of their faith is the Lord. He is the one they trust and look to for all that they need in life. This is how the faithful believer lives day by day. Looking to God, the author and finisher of their faith. Looking to God for what they need to live the Christian life today. To face the challenges of today. To face the enemies of today. For grace for every day. For the power of the Spirit. The Christian continually looks to God for faith, or by faith, for all that they need to fight in the battle of the Christian life. David put it this way in Psalm 62 verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." My expectation is from him. This is why the child of God should always be encouraged and hopeful in life, no matter how bad and hopeless things might seem. Because our God is the one who can do the impossible. And he's the object of our faith. This is why there's hope for the church today. In a world that is against God. In a society that is anti-Christian. And in a society that is waxing worse and worse. And things seem to be getting more hard and difficult. We can go forward with great confidence and expectation. Because our hope is not in ourselves or in our abilities or anything we can do. But it's in our God. The one who's able to do the impossible. And therefore this should encourage us. It should stir our souls. As we look to God by faith. He is able to work. And he's able to move. This was the object of Jonathan's faith. The greatness and glory and power of his God. But then notice also in this passage, not only the object of Jonathan's faith, but the outworking of Jonathan's faith. Read of this in verse 1. It says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan the son of Saul said unto the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side." We're told here of how Jonathan decided to go against the Philistines. He said to his armor bearer, "Come, come with me, and let us go over to the Philistine garrison but all that is on the other side. And the point I want us to note here is this. Jonathan's faith led to action in his life. It actually moved him to rise up against the wicked Philistines and fight for God's honor and testimony. That's what happened here. Jonathan's faith in his God wasn't a passive thing. It was an active thing. It moved him. It stirred his soul. It fired him into action to go against the Philistines. You see, this is the outworking of faith in the life of the faithful believer. It moves them to live and act in a certain way. Faith produces works. It always produces, true faith produces works, righteous works, in the life of the Christian. This is powerfully brought before us in Hebrews 11, the chapter that speaks of the faith of the Old Testament saints. In that chapter, we're told what God's people did by faith. We're not only told about their faith, but we're told what they actually did by faith. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. This is what he did by faith. He built the ark. By faith, Abraham went out not knowing whether he went. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. He left his family behind by faith. There was action in his faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, faith in the life of a person always produces God-honoring and God-glorifying works. It always does. Faith in the life of the believer always produces holy works. I've often met people, and I'm sure you have heard it as well, and they tell you that they are people of faith. I'm a person of faith. And this is what they will say. I often get this when I tell people, or when they ask, what do you do for a living? I say, well, I'm a minister. Oh, I'm a person of faith. I'm a person of faith. And this is how they speak. Yet, there's no evidence of this faith in their lives. Faith to them is some inward thought, some idea in the mind. But there's no real evidence of faith in their lives. You see, faith is something that moves a person to behave in a certain way. We see this in Jonathan's life so clearly here. He was a man of faith. His trust was in the Lord. He knew God could give him the victory. He knew God could help him to take on the Philistines. And what happened in his life? He went against the Philistines by faith. Faith moved him into action. And this is always true of faith. Is there evidence of faith in your life today? That's an important question. Is there evidence of faith? Not just that you say, oh, I believe in the Lord Jesus, but your life demonstrates that you believe in the Lord Jesus because how you live, how you act, how you behave. Remember what James says in James 2, 17 and 18? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. In other words, it's empty faith. It's not true living faith. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Yeah, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The outworking of faith here in John's life. We know he was a man of faith because he was a man who actually did something as he served the Lord. Jonathan was a faithful believer. And as a result of this, he lived by faith. Now this is true of every faithful Christian. The faithful Christian will live by faith, even in the darkest and wickedest of days. They will continue to look to the Lord for help and for grace. And their life will manifest in many ways that they truly believe in the Lord. And so we have here the faith in Jonathan's life. But then notice with me, secondly, in this passage, the fight in Jonathan's life. The fight in his life. This passage that we are considering today speaks of how Jonathan, with the help of his armor bearer, took on a garrison of the Philistines and slew 20 of them. Of course, this was not the first time Jonathan had engaged in this type of action. In 1 Samuel 13 and in the verse 3, we are told of a similar thing which he did. 1 Samuel 13 verse 3 says, "And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah." Jonathan then was a young man that engaged in warfare. He was a young man that engaged in warfare. There was this fight in his life against that which was evil and that which was wicked. This was the manner of this young man. A fight against that which is evil and wicked. Again, here is something that will always be found in the life of the faithful believer. A struggle against evil and against wickedness. The faithful Christian will be a person that does battle against all that is unholy and all that is sinful. And this is why the Bible speaks in many places of the Christian as a soldier. The child of God is exhorted in 1 Timothy 6 verse 12 to fight the good fight of faith. This is the nature of the Christian life. It's warfare. Ephesians 6 and 11 also speaks of the need to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the Christian life is a battle, the faithful believer like Jonathan will be in the business of continually warring against all that is evil and all that is wicked. The simple truth is, the faithful believer cannot be a pacifist. They cannot be a pacifist. They must be a warrior. They must be a fighter. The Lord commanded the Israelites to cut off all the wicked people that lived in the land of Canaan. Remember when the Lord brought the people of Israel into the land of Canaan, the promised land, he said, destroy them all! These wicked and pagan people, they must be cut off! And that was God's command to them. Well, this is the spirit the faithful Christian will have towards all unrighteousness and all unwickedness in their lives. It's a spirit of destruction against all evil. Pulling all down that is evil and wicked and destroying all that is an offense to a holy God. Now, as we examine the fight that Jonathan engaged in at this time, we actually see in this passage the very nature and the struggle the child of God is involved in life. We see the nature of the fight that the child of God is involved in. There were three things that Jonathan had to struggle against as he faithfully fought for God's cause and honor here in Israel. And these three things very much remind us of the nature of the battle that every faithful Christian is involved in. Notice here, Jonathan had a fight against his own heart. He had a fight against his own heart. This is brought before us in verse 1. For after we read in this verse that Jonathan had decided to fight against the Philistines, we're told in the final words of this verse, but he told not his father. Note those words. But he told not his father. This reveals to us that Jonathan knew his father would be against such a mission. And he probably would have forbidden him from going. If Jonathan had went to his father and said, listen, there's a garrison of the Philistines over here. And I've decided with my armor bearer to go and take them on and fight them. I want to go and defend God's cause here and lay an attack upon the enemy. In no likelihood, his father would have forbidden him. He would have stopped him. There was then this inward battle in Jonathan's heart. Was he going to fight for God's honor, or was he going to please his father? This no doubt would have been a struggle in Jonathan's life. Am I going to honor my father, the king? Or am I going to honor the Lord and fight his cause? There was this fight in Jonathan's own heart. Well, so it is in the life of the faithful Christian. There is that constant battle against their own heart and against inward desires which are not holy and God-honoring. This is the nature of the Christian life. There's this inward struggle, this inward battle against sin. There's a war which rages within. And we must struggle against all that is impure and all that is evil and all that is wicked. And seek to overthrow sin and pull it down in our own lives. This is a struggle that every Christian, every true Christian can identify with. In fact, this is one of the great evidences that a person is a believer. There's an inward warfare. There's an inward battle against all that is evil and wicked. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Romans 7, verses 22 and 23. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Here's Paul saying, I delight in God's law. I delight in the Lord. I delight in His truth. I delight in God Himself. Then he said this, but I see another law or another force in my members or in my body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. See what Paul is saying here? I love the Lord, I delight in God, but there's something within me, there's something that is within my own body that struggles against this. And so there's this warfare even within my members, within my own soul. This is the nature of the Christian life. And how important it is that we ever seek to slay sin in our own souls. Slay sin in our own members. Christ's instructions to his people is pluck it out and cut it off. And so therefore we must fight against ourselves in this sense. Fight against sin in our own lives, in our own hearts. Jonathan had a fight against his own heart here. Notice also, Jonathan had a fight against his environment. He had a fight against his environment. We read of this in verse 4. It says there, and between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side, and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sinai. What we're told here is the environment that Jonathan found himself in was a very difficult and challenging one. He was seeking to fight against the Philistines. That's who he wanted to fight against. But the way by which Jonathan sought to go over onto the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. Let me picture the scene here. Jonathan knew the enemy was over there and he was here. And he had to get to the enemy. But as he tried to make his way through, he was faced with this hostile environment. A rugged environment, a sharp rock. And the thought is of a cliff face here. Cliff face on both sides. And he had a struggle to get through this. This was an opposition to him. This was hindering him. This was a difficulty. And we can envisage that in our minds. Therefore he had to fight against the environment in which he was found. It was a hostile and difficult environment he was in. Now, as it was for Jonathan that day, so it is for the Christian living in this world. This sinful and fallen world is a hostile environment for the child of God. An environment that can cause much harm to the believer. It's a sharp rock on both sides, we could say. Sharp rock on both sides. This is why 1 John 2:15 declares, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is the temptation to love the world. This environment in which we are found. And Paul declared to God's people in Romans 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. The word conformed here means the same pattern. The thought is, we are not to behave and live in the same pattern as this ungodly world does. Not to behave as they behave. This world lives for pleasure. They live for prosperity. They live for passions. This is the pattern by which sinful men and women live. They live for the carnal things of this world. They love the world. They love the world. They set their hearts upon the world. These are the things they go after. These are the things that they worship. These are their idols. But the Christian is to fight against this carnal thinking and behavior and seek to live day by day for God's glory. We are to resist the environment that we're in. And of course, this is one of the great challenges of the Christian life. We are all human by nature. And there's things that please us. And the temptation is to be drawn away by the world and overcome by the world. And that's the danger. That's the environment we're placed in. It's a sharp rock on every side that can cause much injury and harm to the child of God. And we must fight against this. We must resist it. And so John had a fight against his own heart. He had a fight against his environment. Of course, Jonathan had a fight against the enemy here. Jonathan's enemy was, of course, the Philistines. The Philistines who were continually seeking to injure and destroy the people of God. It was these people that were the great adversary of God's people. And so Jonathan unsheathed his sword against them and zealously resisted them with the help of God. Took on the enemy. Drove out the Philistines. Now the great enemy or foe of the Christian isn't the Philistines, but it is Satan himself. And it is imperative that just as Jonathan fought against the Philistines, the believer must fight against the wiles of the devil. And this is how we are to live. Fighting against the wiles and wickedness of the devil. Many times in God's word, the child of God is exhorted to do battle against the devil. James 4 and 7 declares, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. And the word resist there means stand in opposition to Satan. Oppose him. Be Satan's adversary. That's what it means. Satan is our adversary, but we are to be his adversary and to resist him. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. In other words, don't give an inch of space in your life for him to work. But drive him out. That's the whole thought. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him ground in your soul. Don't give him ground in your life to inhabit or to live. But drive him out. Don't give him any room to work. And the Apostle Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Satan is our great adversary. The lion who's going about seeking whom he may devour. How do we react to him? Peter says, whom resist. Whom oppose. Steadfast in the faith. In the faith. And so therefore we are to withstand Satan. And how do we do this? We resist and withstand Satan by rejecting his lies, by rejecting his temptations, and by living in obedience to God's word. This is how we fight against Satan. By rejecting all his temptations and all his lies, and simply living in obedience to Christ our King. We have a wonderful example of how we war against Satan in Christ's temptations in the wilderness. As the Lord came, or Satan came to our Lord and tempted him in the wilderness, Christ resisted the devil. And he resisted the devil by the truth of Scripture. He continually said, listen, I will not listen to you, I will not obey you, because God has said. And that's how we resist Satan. By rejecting him and continuing to live according to the truth of God's word. The faithful believer then, just like Jonathan here, must fight on three fronts. The Christian must continually fight on three fronts. They must war against this world, the environment in which they're living. They must war against the flesh, their own hearts. And they must war against the devil. And let me ask you today, are you in the fight with Jonathan? Are you in the fight with Jonathan? I've already mentioned Saul here. We looked at Saul previous to this. He had no stomach for the fight. Content with failure. Content with an empty life. Going nowhere. But Jonathan was so different. A man who was ready to fight for God and live faithfully for him. Are you like Saul or like Jonathan? Are we faithful like Jonathan? In the fight, ready to resist all that is evil and wicked and faithfully fight for God's honor in these days in which we live? This is where we must be if we are to be faithful. Remember what we're thinking about here. Faithful Jonathan. How can we be faithful? We must not only be people of faith, we must be people that fight for God. And fight against all that is wicked and evil. And stand for truth and righteousness. And so we have here the fight in Jonathan's life as well as the faith in his life. The final thing I want us to note here today is the fruit of Jonathan's life. The fruit of his life. Notice what it says in verses 13 and 14 here in this chapter. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men, within, as it were, an half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plough. As Jonathan faithfully and courageously fought for God that day, the Lord's hand was upon him in a very special way. And the Lord enabled Jonathan to achieve a great victory over the enemy. He took out about 20 men of the Philistines. And as well as this, as we will see later on, this led to a great victory over the Philistines. Led to a great victory over them. But the point I just want us to notice this. Out of all the people who lived in Israel, out of the thousands of men that lived in Israel at this time, it was faithful Jonathan that knew the blessing of God in his life in this very special way. It was faithful Jonathan. It was the man of faith. It was the man who fought that knew the fruit of God's blessing in his life. You see, this is what the faithful man enjoys. This is what the faithful believer enjoys. They enjoy the blessing of God. They enjoy the success and victory of God's salvation to a great measure in their lives. And this is what Jonathan knew here. The only way we can know and enjoy God's blessing in our lives, know spiritual victory as Christ's people in this world, is by living a life of faithfulness that honors the Lord. That's the only way we can know. God's blessing resting upon us. It is when we faithfully serve God. And we see this throughout Scripture. Those individuals that faithfully serve God, those individuals that fought for God's honor, were those who especially knew God's blessing. And we could give example after example. I've already mentioned Caleb and Joshua. Out of those men that lived in Israel at that time, they were the faithful men. And it was only these men who eventually get into the promised land. Think of Daniel in Babylon. He was the one who faithfully served God in that wicked place, that evil place, and he knew God's blessing. The same with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we go through Scripture and think of all the people who faithfully served God, and they were the individuals who especially knew God's great blessing in their life. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30 tells us, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, they that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." And we see this in Jonathan's life. He sought to honor God. He sought to drive out the Philistines. He engaged them in battle, and God honored him. God gave him a great victory over them. Much success. This is what the faithful Christian will desire above everything else. To know God's blessing resting upon them. Let me just say that. This is what the faithful Christian will desire above everything else. The blessing of God resting upon them. Is this what you desire today? Maybe you're thinking, well, you know, I would see myself as a fairly faithful Christian. I want to be a good Christian. I want to live for God. Well, is it your desire, your greatest desire, to know God's blessing in your life? Above everything else in this world. Because this is what the faithful Christian desires. This is what they long for. This is what their souls cry to God for. Oh, that you would bless me. Bless my family. Bless the work of God. This is why they pray earnestly and seek after God to know something of his blessing in their life. This was why Jonathan, one of the reasons why Jonathan went against the Philistines, he wanted to know God's blessing in his own life and in the nation of Israel. Oh, I trust that we will be like faithful Jonathan. That we will be like faithful Jonathan. People of faith. People that are fighting for God zealously in this wicked generation in which we live. And people who enjoy the fruit of God's blessing. The blessed fruit of God's grace and victory in our lives. To no small measure. God desires, God longs of his people. That they would be faithful. This is what he desires of all of us. May we truly be faithful people for him. In these days. I trust God will bless these thoughts to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.